What a weekend we have in store for you, Tappers. Welcome in to the weekend watch list. For those who are unfamiliar or joining us for the first time, first of all, welcome. Second of all, the weekend watch list features 10 things to watch in sports this weekend. We start with local sports. Then we go into more of the national sports. It's all over the place. College football, NFL football. We have a golf to talk about this week. And we sort of just give you a, I would say, a minute to 2 minute preview. Sometimes we go longer. Sometimes we go shorter. Just sort of depends on what we're talking about. And yeah, we're going to do this until the Super Bowl, whenever the Super Bowl in early February. We're at least going to do it till then. Obviously, February, March, you get a little lean on what's going on the weekends. This is the weekend watch list. Look for us every Friday. Pardon Murph's Fantasy will be live on Saturday. Make sure you're listening to that. And then also NFL Wake and Take. We get you started on Sunday morning. I'm sure I will be stressing out about the Ryder Cup on Sunday morning as well. But let's get into it. Waste no more time. We are starting with the Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers are the team. They have taken a front seat from the Green Bay Packers. It is an amazing sight to see. The Green Bay Packers, while they are the team of Wisconsin, the Brewers are the team of southeastern Wisconsin at this point. They took precedence on TMJ. The TMJ people are going with the Brewers on their regular station. KTI is taking the Packer game. I think that says it all right there. Miller Park is going to be unhinged this weekend. I hope that we have sellouts throughout the weekend. Christian Yelich wrote the thing in the players' tribune about how he needs everybody, how this is a community. There is no better way to greet these guys than to be at Miller Park on Friday. I wish I could be there tonight. I'm going to be at a wedding, but obviously paying close attention to what the Brewers do against the Detroit Tigers. I think it becomes even more unhinged if the Cubs were to lose this afternoon. The Cubs play the Cardinals at 1:20. If the Cubs were to lose, we'll talk about Cubs-Cardinals in the watch list later on. But that, to me, makes this game all the more interesting tonight. You have Zach Davies on the mound against Wisconsin native Jordan Zimmermann. Jordan Zimmermann has pitched well at Miller Park in the past. The guy is a gas can, though. They are facing three guys with ERAs in the fives. There's no excuses this weekend. You really would hope they could sweep the Tigers. I know that's ambitious. That would mean you're ending the season really on a seven-game winning streak. It really is ambitious. And you almost could argue, hey, maybe should they lose a game just to sort of refresh. But at this point, it is win or go to the wild card. That's sort of the mantra that the Brewers should be there. And obviously, Craig Counsell preached it after they were celebrating on Wednesday. Like, we want to celebrate again. We want to do this again. So can this actually happen for the Brewers? We'll obviously pay attention to it. We'll talk about it. I'll be on Twitter all weekend discussing it. Who knows? Maybe we'll get on Instagram Live or something like that and do a quick daily tap if need be. But yes, this is it's incredible. It should be an absolute shit show there at Miller Park for tonight's game, for Saturday night's game, as well as then Sunday with the 2:10 start. I love that. I love that baseball has every game going at 2 o'clock. Of course, the Cubs have to play at 2:20 because, heaven forbid, the Chicago Cubs can't start at a normal fucking time like the rest of us. All right, the Packers are in the backseat. They are riding in the back. The Brewers are in the front, but they do play the Buffalo Bills. There isn't much juice for this. I don't think there is a lot of excitement. I think if you were to ask, and I'm sure local radio will do this today, but if you were to ask fans, like, where's your excitement level for the Brewers and where is it for the Packers? I think for the Brewers, you're at a 9, you're at a 10. I think for the Packers, you're at a 4 or a 5. I just think there is so much unknown about this team. And you watch the Los Angeles Rams on Thursday night, and you, I think, had a revelation. At least I did. I don't know about everybody else. You can let me know. SnowTapWI on Twitter. Like, I just realized the Packers aren't at that level. They are nowhere near the Los Angeles Rams. They are nowhere near those guys. Like, Jared Goff was just throwing dimes. That offense is amazing. They were finding ways to pick on Anthony Barr. I mean, some of the stuff that Sean McVay does is amazing. And Ryan Leese, my boy, he tweeted out, like, I would rather trade more for Sean McVay than Khalil Mack. I was like, absolutely, man. That is 100% right. Like, watching that Rams team made you just realize that, fuck, we are so far behind. And maybe that'll change. I realize it's the first month of the season, but holy Christ, are the Packers behind the Rams. Like, the Rams are at two or three levels up above where the Packers are right now. So maybe they can prove me wrong. Maybe they can come out with a statement win. I think the Packers, like the Bills were last week, where kind of playing for pride, not just the winning record. I think that's the Packers. I think there is so much unknown about this team. And if they come out and they really kick ass, like let's say they win 31-10, I think there is a lot more excitement and a lot less questions about this team. I know there'll be the haters, because there's always haters to the Packers. They'll say, well, it's the Bills. Well, that Bills team just beat the Vikings at a stadium the Packers have not won in 2 years. They have still not won yet since they opened that stadium. So they've done something that Green Bay hasn't. So I'm still excited to watch. I'm still think it could be a good game. But yeah, you have to slow down LeSean McCoy. You have to start fast. The red zone defense has been atrocious this year. You have to become a bend don't break defense quicker. And also, too, Aaron Jones needs to play. He needs the rock. He should be having 75% of the carries. Aaron Rodgers advocated for him yesterday. I think that was calculated. I know Aaron wants to see his other Aaron out there, and I hope that that is the case this week. So definitely a lot to pay attention to with that Packers-Bills. Also, with my eyes, are going to be on the Ryder Cup. So that is going on as I tape this podcast on Friday morning. The U.S. are up 3-1 against Europe. I am very excited for this. The course is interesting. So much water. I mean, Christ, who knew that Paris had that much water? I guess there's a river that runs through Paris, but whatever. Like, holy hell, the amount of water that's on this course, it makes it feel like we're in Florida. Like, I don't hate it, but I don't really love it either. I just think that some of it's better for a major. Like, if the Open Championship, and they would never move it out of, like, Great Britain, but if the Open Championship were there, I think it would make for a great course. I don't know if it makes for a Ryder Cup course. It's just there's way too much, you know, if you go into rough, you're basically screwed. And so that's like a concern. The U.S. jumped out early. I think the U.S. is loaded. I mean, Tiger, Patrick Reed aren't going. The only four guys that are going in the afternoon rounds are Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. So Brooks Koepka is now 4-1 in the Ryder Cup. Brooks, to me, is just an absolute machine at the Ryder Cup, kind of like Dustin Johnson. I mean, they have some guys right now, and they are really deep. They do have the advantage over Europe. I like the U.S. to retain the cup. Obviously, this afternoon session matters. We'll see if Europe can close the gap and make it a little more of a close competition. They've been known to do that before. They did it at Hazeltine. Remember, that was close after Friday, and then Saturday afternoon, and really the opening of the morning sessions, the U.S. just sort of unleashed holy hell on Europe. So something that we've seen before. Little WW2 reference for all of you. But yeah, no, it's gonna be a great weekend for that. Definitely love that it's in the morning, because you can basically set your table. Like, if this is a weekend to piss off your girlfriend, I don't know what is, because basically you can start your day at like 6 a.m., get up early if you'd like. If not, I understand, it's the weekend. But you get up in the morning, you make your coffee, you're like, she's thinking at least has till 11, 12 o'clock before sports come on. You're like, babe, I'm watching the Ryder Cup until 11 or 12, and then I'm going to football, and then I'm watching football all day, and then going out with my boys, and then I'm going to watch the Ryder Cup in the morning on Saturday, Sunday, and then watch NFL all day and baseball. Amazing sports weekend. Happy that it's my last one before I go to London. By the way, if I was in Europe this weekend, I would have tried like all hell to get to the Ryder Cup and wear a bunch of U.S. gear and just be rowdy as all fuck. All right, so moving on to college football. So no Badger game this week, but the premier game does exist in the Big Ten. It is Ohio State versus Penn State. The Buckeyes are a 3.5 point road dog against a road favorite against Penn State. Huge rivalry game, huge implications for the college football playoff. Fun little fact for you, Penn State is 5-21 against ranked opponents in the last few years. They have not been that good versus the ranked opponents. I think it might be against the spread. But regardless, they have not been that good. I know that it's been different with James Franklin. I just feel like there are a lot of questions about Penn State. I feel like I know Ohio State more than I know Penn State, okay? Like, they have Trace McSorley, they have Miles Sanders, they have some good talent, no question about it. But who have they really played? Ohio State beat a TCU team that I think is pretty good. I know they lost to Texas too, but I feel like that was a part of that kind of body blow theory. Shout out to Solid Verbal. Like, they were sort of beat up in that game. Like, they had to deal with, you know, playing Ohio State the week prior. I really like Ohio State in this game. I think I'm betting on Ohio State. I feel pretty good about the Buckeyes. I think Dwayne Haskins and company gets it done. I think it's about a 10-point game. I do not expect it to be close. I realize that State College will be just unhinged and just be an absolute rowdy atmosphere. But still, I like Ohio State in this game. For baseball, Cubs-Cardinals, like I said earlier, Friday sets the tone. We will know a lot. Adam Wainwright goes on the mound. If the Cardinals were to win, and granted, they need to win to keep themselves alive in the wild card hunt. If they were to win, the Brewers then will have a chance to tie for the division. If the division is tied heading into the final two games of the year, then anything goes. And again, you're going to have the Cubs and Cardinals play early. They have the noon game on Fox on Saturday. So you will know, the Brewers will know on Friday and Saturday what the Cubs did. Now, if the Cubs win both those games, it's kind of over, right? All the Cubs need to do is win on Friday and Saturday, and they have the division. Now, if it stays tied until the last game of the year, you could get a 163 on Monday evening, likely, at Wrigley Field. It would be an amazing game. One where you'd almost wonder if you should go down for it because, oh my God, I mean, that would be an absolute scene. Shit would be an amazing game. And as someone who is going to miss the wild card game in person, because I got invited to the game, I'm going to be flying on a plane. I do not know if I will be able to get service to watch the game as I'm flying overseas. If I am, great. If not, you know, I understand it. I just have to wait on pins and needles and wait to see what happened when I get back. It really, to me, is like one of those things where I know I need to, I would love to see a Monday night game just for my selfish reasons. And obviously, I want the Brewers to win the division and not even have to deal with a wild card game. Back to college football, Stanford Notre Dame is going at the same time as Penn State and Ohio State. That's really unfortunate. It means that you should be going to your favorite establishment. My girlfriend's having a friend over on Saturday night, and I was like, well, even if I have no plans, I think I'm just going to find a bar and belly up and watch the Stanford Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, and the Brewers and the Tigers, because that is a fine Saturday night. I can get drunk by myself. I do not really care. That is just a plethora of good television. Great game for defense to Stanford and Notre Dame. Definitely good for the purists of the world who want defensive football back. I also like the under in that game, which is 54. A little too high in my opinion. To football, this is on Monday night, but still going to make the watch list. I considered a watch list on Monday just because it's part of the weekend, right? Like, Monday Night Football is still part of the NFL weekend. So, Chiefs-Broncos, we get our first look at Mahomes, if you haven't watched Mahomes yet, on DirecTV or anything like that. First for a lot of us to watch Patrick Mahomes, see how real the Chiefs are. I think, am I really going to bet against the Chiefs for a fourth straight week? I feel like I have to keep doing it until until I lose. Like, I don't know. I think this is one of those games where it's a rivalry game. the Broncos know they need to win this to kind of keep pace with Kansas City. You know, there is probably a question of how good is Denver. They beat Seattle and Oakland, who are two of the worst teams in football. And then lost pretty handily to the Ravens. That's one of those where I should have saw it coming, but that's here nor there because I did bet on the Broncos. But, you know, like I said, we aren't going to talk about the past here. But, yes, I'm very excited to watch Patrick Mahomes, see basically Brett Favre reincarnated out there. And Brett Favre obviously is on the Mahomes bandwagon, who he had talked to Andy Reid, his former coach, and just obviously loves everything that Mahomes does. Also in the NFL, Fox is giving us in Wisconsin the Baker debut. We are able to watch Browns Raiders. And most of the times you'd be like, wow, Fox really fucked us. And I probably would have rather watched the Buccaneers and the Bears, to be honest with you, just from a pure interest standpoint, from a flipping, even though the Packers and Bills are playing in the morning. But I like that we get two evening games. Browns Raiders should be a lot of fun. I think the Baker craze, I maybe settle down a little bit. There is that play for pride sort of things from the Raiders. The Raiders have came out firing in all of their first halves and then fallen apart in the second. We'll see if that continues. We'll see if the Browns can get to 2-1-1. That would be incredible. Obviously, the Browns have not won on a Sunday in a very long time, and they, I believe, have not won on the road in also a very long time. I do not have those for you. I do think that I could see the Raiders winning this game. We'll have to wait and see if Mount Pius Murph puts it on his risky bet alert. Going back to college football for number 9, we have Florida-Mississippi State. Dan Mullen's return to Starkville. I could have picked 100 games for college football. I really do think this is a good college football weekend. There are rivalry matchups. We're into the conference football season. There's South Carolina, Kentucky. Is the Kentucky football hype real? You just have a lot of good. You have West Virginia, Texas Tech, which is going to be an absolute shootout. The over-under is at 72.5. That is wild. So there's that game in the morning. Definitely a perfect college football weekend where you can watch games from 11 till midnight. There are games for you at all times of the day. You have the BYU Washington game, which is very important for Badger fans. If BYU wins that game, that is going to be a good sign for the Badgers. Then all of a sudden, that loss doesn't look as bad if they beat Washington and Wisconsin on the road. Now, if they get blown out, it is the inverse for the Badgers. Wrapping it up with the Ravens and Steelers, great rivalry game, perfect NBC Sunday night game. Granted, I was saying on the podcast yesterday on Daily Tap, if you listen, I was like, well, why are the Vikings and Rams on Thursday night? I was like, this could dilute the game. Guess what? It fucking didn't. And I tweeted about this yesterday. If they've figured out how to play on Thursday night, like if coaches and players have figured out how to gear their bodies for Thursday night, boy, oh boy, do we actually have like football worth watching every Thursday. That is very exciting. I love the sound of that. And I love the sound of Ravens Steelers on Sunday night. This is a great rivalry. These teams hate each other. It will be a lot of fun. Both teams need this win. I mean, Ravens are 2-1. Steelers are 1-2-1. I would argue the Steelers kind of need it more. We'll see if they can show up on a short week against a very tough opponent in Baltimore. I'm there very fascinated because I think we don't know enough about these two teams just yet. All right, that does it. Murph will be taking you guys through Saturday, giving you all the fantasy tips and what should be a big fantasy weekend. Excited for it. Also excited to talk to you guys on the Wake and Take on Sunday. We'll talk about just the headlines heading in to week number 4. All right, take care, guys. Have yourselves a great sports weekend. Go Brewers, go Packers, go USA. Take care. Bye.